Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today I would like to talk about the nitrogen fertilizer recovery in wheat under elevated carbon dioxide in southern Australia. Here are some background. You can see here the carbon dioxide concentration has been increasing, and it will be is predicted to be increased to between 500 and 1,000 ppm at the end of this century. And under high CO2, in general, the plant responds positively. For example, the height, leaf area index, dry matter production, and the crop yield all show positive response in this kind of meta-analysis. And under such kind of positive carbon dioxide effect on the crop growth, and whether the fertilizer recovery will be enhanced is not too well documented. And here are some literature showing that rice, sorghum, and spring barley all show a positive response except this one. And they use different kind of method to determine the fertilizer recovery. They use N difference methods or the 15N method. But we are not sure whether wheat, which is a very important crop in the world, whether it responds positively to elevated CO2. And so our objectives were to investigate the CO2 effects on the wheat biomass and nitrogen demand, and then look at the fertilizer recovery in the plant and in the soil, and also the removal of soil nitrogen. And this experiment was carried out in Horsham, which is here, and in Victoria, this is Victoria, and in this Australia. And we use the FACE facility, which is a free air carbon dioxide enrichment. Briefly, this is the CO2 tank. We connect the CO2 tank to through a controller to the experimental area. This experimental area is made up of 8 pipes. In each of the pipes, there are some tiny holes for the CO2 to be released. And in the center of this each area, we got a CO2 sensor and a wind sensor. When the CO2 sensor detects that the CO2 level is lower than the target CO2 level, and then some of the pipes will some of the holes in some of the pipes will open, and at this time we need to based on the wind direction. For example, if the wind blows from this side, then the holes from these 3 pipes will open, and the CO2 will blow through the experimental area. Okay, we got 16 experimental area with 8 ambient CO2 and 8 elevated CO2 rings. And we got a normal sowing, which I shortened is NS, and late sowing, which is LS. And our targeted CO2 level is 550 ppm, which is predicted to be reached by 2050, according to scenario A1B, which is the medium scenario. The experimental design, we got 2 CO2 level and 2 irrigation regimes and 3 experimental periods. And we used the PVC cylinder, which is this one, insert to 20 centimeter deep to the soil. And we applied granular urea, which is 15N labeled. These are the fertilizer. And after that, we analyzed the 15N by the isotope ratio mass spectrometry for grain, straw, and root at full maturity. And also the different soil layers. And here is the different irrigation regimes of the 3 experimental periods. We used the decile, different decile to represent the water supply of each experimental treatment. And these are some a summary of the different sowing dates, nitrogen application date, and the temperature, and the harvest date of different of the 3 experimental periods. Okay, some results. Here we got the first of all, we look at the biomass and nitrogen uptake. The biomass, elevated CO2 increased the total biomass at the 2008 normal sowing time and 2009 normal sowing time under ring-fed condition, but there were were no significant effect when it was sown late in this period, and also when the rainfall was above average. And this period is in fact a very dry and hot period, so there's no CO2 response. And corresponding to the biomass increase, nitrogen uptake also increased in the same period. And then we noticed that the grain nitrogen removal was on average greater under elevated CO2 than ambient CO2. For the nitrogen concentration in the plant tissues, it's very consistent that elevated CO2 had no significant effect on both the rain-fed and irrigated treatments for all the periods, and including the grain concentration, so the grain protein was not decreased by the CO2. For the fertilizer recovery, generally elevated CO2 had no significant effect on the recovery in both plant and soil. But for the source of nitrogen uptake, you can see that elevated CO2 increased the nitrogen uptake from soil under here in 2008 normal sowing, and also in 2009 normal sowing here. And this increase is consistent with that of the biomass and nitrogen uptake. For the irrigation, under irrigation, the fertilizer recovery increased the plant nitrogen derived from the fertilizer. You can see here is higher than here, and these two values, and here is higher than in rain-fed condition. So some conclusions: elevated CO2 increased the rich biomass and the nitrogen demand in a normal growing season. But the increase was not apparent under hotter and drier conditions or when the rainfall was above average. The rich grain protein concentration and fertilizer recovery were not affected by elevated CO2, which is probably associated with the high soil nitrogen availability in our site. And the fertilizer recovery in the plant was higher under supplementary irrigation than rain-fed conditions. So these all results suggest that a higher fertilizer nitrogen application is necessary under future CO2 atmospheres in order to avoid the progressive decline of nitrogen in the soil, because the grain nitrogen removal under high CO2 is higher. And also, the rich production area should be shifted to higher rainfall zones in future warmer and drier environments in order to maintain the yield and also to keep the CO2 fertilization effect. Okay, that's all for my presentation. Thank you.
Well, we have 6 minutes for questions.
Oh. Too fast.
Yeah, too fast, Raymond. Okay. I have more time to read the slides through.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You're
not familiar with information, but
okay.
Everyone else, especially that table, pretty complex table.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay.
You have the irrigation, you have CO2,
this table? Okay.
Yeah. The system for the CO2 control,
is that commercially available, and also do you
need a calibration?
Yeah, a commercial available means. It's
an international one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the first project set up 6 years ago with a museum, a national museum. It's a very expensive project between CRPC, DPI, Oakland, and the University of Melbourne. So this setup is actually based on originally Italian design, European design. And then the United Engineers came to Australia to help set up with some modifications. So it's not commercial available, but there are only two or three types of design. European design, Japanese design, especially two types.
They are all for research.
Yes, for research, because they are very expensive. It's not even just is it carbon outside and the gas.
Outside.
Of course, $1 million a year.
Really?
Yes. Oh. The project was $5 million set up.
Uh-huh.
$5 million.
Yeah, it's calibrated.
You know, as Raymond said, in the center, there is a sensor, because monitoring, the CO2 control all the time, because, you know, make sure the CO2 concentration maintain at a target level within a certain fluctuation.
So I think 10%.
Yeah,
10% fluctuation. Temperature, we didn't look at it scientifically, but we used the different time of sowing to simulate the temperature effect. What I said is not scientifically, because if we really look at the CO2 in interact with temperature, then we need to have a certain facility to make sure they are under the same condition, only the temperature change. But we use this, the different time of sowing, to simulate. It means we sow the seed at different time, so that the growing season, the temperature of the growing season is different.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
the same as temperature. Yes.
The temperature experiment, you need that. Actually, more expensive, more difficult to control.
Now, how about if you put the temperature sensors inside inside the whole thing?
Oh, yeah, we have temperature sensor. But I think that the thing here, say, what about if we simulate, if temperature go up, increase by 2 degrees? So they have some infrared device.
Octagonal. I think it's easier to control the to set up and also to easier to control the direct where the CO2 go through. Set up.
All the pipe has all the small holes. Every hole is connected by small valves. The valves in my computer release how much carbon dioxide to maintain. And then it's calibrated. You've got a pretty fancy control system.
Yeah.
Because how much carbon dioxide releasing is relying on the how fast the wind blow.
Yeah,
if you pass the wind blow, you have a bit small.
Yeah, no wonder it's so
small. It's a bit sufficient.
Yeah.
So in each pipe of the eight pipe, it connects to a particular sensor.
Yeah.
So
I did get it.
It's kind of really an expensive experiment.
Yeah.
I think we're struggling to maintain.
Okay, let's move back to the next.
Okay, thank you.